Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, today we're going to talk about an extremely important subject. Now, what is it that might be important? The King. Oh, okay, the King. Okay, yeah, he's all that counts, isn't he? Yeah, we want to talk about those things that are important today. We'll try to lay aside everything else. Like Dave said there a while ago, yesterday we had the privilege to get in our little airplane, and Dave went with us, and Cheryl and I, and we carried about six boxes of video and cassettes, and we flew out to Gory, Texas. Amen. You know, I don't know if you know where that's at. It's out close to Monday. You know, some people thought, where's Monday? You know, but no, not Monday, Tuesday. No, we went on Sunday. No, it was Monday. The little town of Monday, which is not very big, but the little town of Gory is even smaller. And, of course, thank goodness for GPSs. You know, it's amazing how wonderful you can fly out there on a GPS and turn inbound on. And, I mean, here, right in the middle of the cotton patch out there is a little 3,200-foot. You know, nothing nowhere around it, just a little 3,200-foot strip right in the middle of the cotton patch, 4 miles from Gory, right out there. But, man, that GPS led me right into the end of the runway. You know, it was beautiful, and we landed there, and, of course, the pastor picked us up, and it was a Baptist church. Got to speak in a Baptist church, First Baptist Church of Gory, Texas. And, of course, what happened about 2 years ago, he and his friend, one of his deacons from that church, they heard about my teaching, and they came over to Dallas, and especially the deacon, but the pastor, he was pretty knowledgeable about these things already. He's a pretty knowledgeable man, but his deacon that came with him, he said, Thurman, that trip to Dallas changed my life forever. He said, I ain't never been the same since that day. Well, that's what we're here for. Amen. To try to make people's life never be the same. We want people to be blessed with the Word of God and learn who they are. And if we just obey the King, it's amazing what he does. So today, again, we're going to talk about what we have to do to obey him, to see him bless us and answer our prayer. In fact, I got an email the other day from, in fact, this gentleman sitting right here, Jack. He said he went down somewhere and was having trouble with a radiator on a piece of equipment or something, and the guy tried to fix the radiator, and he couldn't fix it. He tried and tried and tried and couldn't fix it. And so Jack asked him, what's wrong? He said, well, I can't fix it. He said, well, my boss can fix it. And he said, who's your boss? He said, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, let's pray. And so he's kind of shocked the guy, you know. But Jack stopped and prayed, and within minutes, the guy had the radiator fixed. Amen. See, isn't that amazing what happens when you confess your King is able even to move on the heart of another man to let him be able to do something when you pray in faith? Amen. So, I mean, don't ever cut our God short. You know, always pray about everything and walk in love, just like he said. Now, the secret here is walking in that God kind of love. If we don't walk in the God kind of love, God don't show up, because he is in love. He is love. And that's what he's trying to get across to us, what he wants us to do. And so we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to start off with Matthew 22, 35 through 40 today. And we're going to talk a lot about love. This is the secret. We must walk in love if we want to see God answer a prayer and do great things for us. If you're not walking in love, he's not there. And people just don't understand this. I mean, of course, the world for sure does not understand this, but I sometimes wonder if we understand it. You know, here we are, sons and daughters of God, and we are not walking in love. I mean, I got real tickled at Cheryl here a while back. She was having trouble with something. Someone had done something to her she didn't like. And we were laying there in bed. And it's where she really has a captive audience, you know, when I'm laying there in bed and I'm trying to go to sleep in the wee hours of the morning, and she's still talking 90 miles an hour. And then finally she says, what do you think about this case anyway? I just turned over and I says, remember, love remembers no wrongs. And I just turned back over and went to sleep. Oh, she said, that's not what I wanted to hear. But she knew that was the word, so she turned over and went to sleep too. Is that what the word says? When somebody does you wrong, love remembers no wrongs. Now, that'll put you to the test, won't it? If somebody does something to you you don't like, just to say, okay, praise the Lord, let's just press on and go on. Love remembers no wrongs. But the flesh rises up and said, but let me just get him, you know. But that's where we usually live, with the flesh, instead of in the spirit. But if you live in the spirit, man, that love can do great things. So let's see what the Lord says here in Matthew 22:35-40. We're going to get it on the screen. There it is. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question. Now, you know, this lawyers are real good about asking questions. Now, I think about this. You know, I have been in a court of law very few times in my life. But I remember when I think about this question being asked by a lawyer, I remember one time I put this love to the test. And I built and designed a piece of equipment for the corporation that I worked for. And that piece of equipment, we used it all over the world. It saved our company millions of dollars. And they loved it. And they was amazed that I could build such a fantastic piece of equipment for less than half of what they could buy one compatible or comparable out in the business world. And mine was so much better. Well, where did I get that wisdom? From the King, of course. And I'd prayed and asked him to show me how to do this, and he did. And, of course, I built it, and then we'd had them on the market for years. And then one day, a lady up in New York, somehow, she was in under there and underneath this watertight box. She had it raised up, and I don't know how she had it hung in the belt. I just don't understand how she made that happen. I've never been able to duplicate that, but somehow she got it hung in the belt. And when she raised it up and stuck it some way, of course, who knows how it might have been worn or whatever, however it might not have been maintained properly or whatever. But anyway, she stuck this lid in the belt, a stainless steel belt, and then she reached in the control box. Now, in our company, nobody but a supervisor is supposed to mess with the controls on a box, but she was just a normal employee, and she reached under there and turned it on. Well, of course, when it started moving, the belt moved, and of course the door where it was hung came loose, and that little stainless steel lid fell, and she saw it falling. She went to jerk her finger out, and when she did, as the little stainless steel lid come down, it hung right in the edge of her finger right there and ripped it from right there to the end, about a half inch long. And, you know, I mean, that's not bad, you know, I mean, it's minor, but it bled. So, of course, she went to the doctor, and they took 6 stitches in her finger. Well, after they went to the doctor, now this one wasn't a Christian. She didn't know anything about how to stand by faith. So after her finger grew back, she didn't have all the feeling back in it that she had when it was normal. And so by not having the feeling in there, she went back to the doctor to tell him, you know, I was injured on the job, you know, and so I want you to fix my finger. So this doctor, and it was on the left hand, this doctor cut from the end of her finger all the way down the finger, down into the palm of her hand, all the way to here to try to reconnect some tendons. And when he got through with her, her hand was like this, her finger was like this, and she couldn't even close her hand no more. Now, the doctor hurt her a whole lot worse than the little incident on the belt did, that's for sure. But see, she didn't know how to pray, didn't know anybody that prayed. Nobody could tell her how to stand in faith. So here she is at the doctor's, whatever you want to call it. And so he messed her up. Well, when this happened, now then, she wants to sue the doctor. Well, the doctor said it wasn't his fault. It was the people's fault that built the piece of equipment. And so she sued my company. So one day they contacted me and said, Thurman, corporate headquarters said, did you design and build this piece of equipment? I said, yes, I did. They said, we've been sued $4 million. And so you're going to have to come to New York City to have your deposition taken and then go onto a court of law. I've never done this before. But I had been to have my deposition taken one time when one of my employees had a wreck in one of our vehicles, and then he quit about 6 months later. And 2 years later, those people sued us. And so I'm the manager, so I had to go down to Dallas to have a deposition taken about the incident. And I learned a great lesson there that day. I learned that the little girl that's tapping the little thing that's taking notes about what you're saying, if they say, can you tell us on what date this happened? And I say, let's see, it was December the 14th, 1993. They put everything I said, I couldn't believe this. When I got this deposition back and I read it, I said, who was the idiot that wrote that was talking? Wow. You don't know what you sound like until you see yourself talking. And I thought, this guy's a complete idiot, you know. But the complete idiot was me, you know. And so I thought, boy, if I ever have to have a deposition taken again, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me. And I'm going to not open my mouth until I know I've got everything exactly, because I know whatever I say, they're going to put it on that piece of paper. And you just can't imagine how dumb I looked on that piece of paper, you know, taking that deposition. So now then I got to go to New York, and now this case is against the corporation for something I built. And so I said, Lord, I've got to really have some help here. And I went up there, and I went in, and before these lawyers, and when it actually came to the case, I went down, I sat down, and they had two of their attorneys and one of ours. And so this one attorney that was her attorney was a Jewish attorney. And so when we sat down there and when he put me on the stand, every question he asked, I would think it through, and then I would open my mouth and intelligently give him an answer. And so he tried everything in the world to rattle my cage. In fact, one question he asked me, come back at me like a normal lawyer, you know, to cut me down right here. And I'm just standing there, sitting there, and I'm thinking through. And then he said, Mr. Scrivener, you can answer the question. I turned and looked at him and said, sir, I will answer the question when I'm ready. And so I sat there for a few more moments and thought it through in detail, said, Lord, I've got to have the perfect answer. You told me anytime I'm fretting like this, I don't even need to think what I'm going to say. You're going to put the words in my mouth. So, Lord, I need to claim that promise today. I went through that entire deal between all those lawyers. I was on that stand for a couple of hours in New York City. When it was over, the judge ruled in our behalf 100%. I mean, you know, we beat the case hands down. You know, I mean, unbelievable, you know, how wonderful God worked. So when I got up to leave, this little attorney come running up beside me, the little Jewish guy. He said, I ain't never seen a man like you. He said, I ain't never seen a man I couldn't rattle his cage on that stage. He said, how is it you can do this? I said, well, sir, that's real simple. I said, I'm a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, and I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, so he puts words in my mouth. I said, by the way, do you know him as your Lord and Savior? He said, no, I'm a Jew. I said, but sir, Jesus was a Jew also. I said, he's the best Jewish I ever met in my life. And I said, he loves you with all his heart, and he wants you to become his son. I said, if you would become his son, you could be as good a lawyer as he was with me today, and you know, coming against you. I said, so isn't it amazing? You never seen a man like me, but I give all the glory to Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I said, if you want to be like me, all you got to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He said, well, you've given me something to think about. But he said, I'm not interested in it today. And he turned and walked off. But at least I sowed a seed, right? Amen. Now then, do we have anything? Well, you think Jesus was concerned when this lawyer confronted him with this question? You think the king was concerned at all? No. Of course not. This lawyer asked him a question, tempting him. And so, now, these lawyers hadn't changed much over time, have they? See, there's some of them still doing the same thing today. Amen. You know, but we don't have to worry. Master, which is a great commandment of the law? Good question, isn't it? Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him this question. Jesus said, oh, go ahead. That's okay. Next question, yeah. Jesus asked him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now, this is the first and the great commandment. Now, we need to let that soak in. Every one of us as born again children of God need to let that verse soak into our heart, that if we will love the Lord God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, if we will just do that as a beginning, I'm going to tell you, if you can walk in that realm, there is nothing He will withhold from you when you ask. Nothing. All you've got to do is believe that and act on it. But then your actions outside of this room has got to follow in that realm. You can't say, okay, Lord, I promise to love you with all my heart. And you walk outside and somebody says something you don't like and you tell them where to get off. Or you have a knockdown drag out on the way home from church tonight. There ain't no love in that. You know? You want to know why our prayers don't get answered? Because we don't obey what He says. We are no different than those people that were back there under the law. When He says, if you guys will love me and put me first and obey my commandments and my statutes, I will take all sickness away from the midst of all of you. And you, nothing will be barren, and you will have, I'll bless you. I'll bless you with rain. I will bless you with crops. I'll bless your children. You won't none of you be sick. All you got to do is obey me. And what did they do too? They did just as bad as us. They didn't obey Him either, did they? No, they didn't obey Him either. You know, we got one thing that they don't have. And we got a Holy Spirit. That's a big difference between the church today than them. But we're going to talk about Him today some too. Now, this is the first in a great commandment. We'll see what the next one is. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? The person sitting on your right, on your left, in front of you, behind you. All of the above. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now then, we see that you shall love your neighbor. Okay, Lord, I'm going to try to love the guy down the street. But then when he comes to yourself, I mean, who could love me? I mean, after all, you know, you're a regular little... I see this with women. The reason I'm going to say this, I see it with guys too, but not near as much as I do with girls. Women, they've been told by their daddy as they were growing up, or sometimes it's a mother, but it really has an impact if it's a daddy. Why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you be as smart in school as your sister? Well, your sister made straight A's. Why'd you make a B? Why can't you? You ain't worth nothing, girl. I mean, you hear daddies talk to their children like this. I mean, y'all know what I mean. Maybe some of you have had people talk to you like that. You know, you can't do nothing right. Why can't you do like your brother? He always does everything right. You know, you don't never do nothing right. I mean, people are beat up like that all their life. Somebody comes to me and says, why can you have such great faith? Why can you do all the things you do in life? I said, the only thing I can contribute it to is I had a mother that she knew one verse extremely well in God's Word. Philippians 4:13. Son, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My mother, when I said, well, Mom, I don't want to go out and hoe the garden. She said, son, you're a child of God. I can do all things, and you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You can go out and hoe that garden. You can do a good job. I'm telling you. I mean, she was a smart mother. You know it, Tom? Yeah. And of course, I grew up with that verse being beat into me all of my life.
Amen.
You know, in fact, I just looked there at Ernest doing that like that, and I thought about another man that I know that I read an article, saw a little story about this the other day, and said it was a man had a little boy, and this man loved to play golf. And when his little boy got big enough that to hold a stick in his hand, he'd say, son, put that golf club in your hand. You're going to be the best golfer the world ever seen. And daddy told him that over and over and over. And then when he got to be about this tall, he'd hand him a little golf club, put a little ball for him, say, son, hit that ball. You're going to be the best golfer the world ever seen. And anybody know who that boy is?
Tiger
Woods. Now, what did his daddy tell him? You're going to be the best there ever. And is he a pretty good golfer? Yeah, he's a pretty good golfer. Now, see, we need to take lessons from these things. We need to tell our children. We need to tell each other.
Yes, sir.
There ain't nothing we can't do in the Lord. I mean, we need to get this thing in our spirit. Amen. I remember years ago when that VP asked me, he said, "Thurman, I got such a difficult project for you and your men, I even hate to ask you to do it." And his name, he was a VP, a regional VP. And I said, "Mr. Tully, that's okay." I said, "The difficult we do immediately. The impossible takes just a little bit longer." If you've got that kind of attitude in life, you know what you can do? Hey, I mean, if the King is in you,
amen.
We need to learn that if we walk in this God kind of love, and if we'll love our neighbor as ourself. But when I say love our neighbor as ourself, sometimes we let the self part just fly off. We don't realize when God commands you to love Him, if you don't, that's a sin. When God commands you to love your neighbor down the street, if you don't, that's a sin. If you don't love yourself like you're supposed to love that neighbor and love God, again, that's a sin. And all that will keep you from the power of God.
Amen.
You know, you need to start making sure you're loving yourself. And if you have a problem with that, do like Cheryl says. She tells women all the time, get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, "Wow, look at that woman in there. That's a princess of the King of the universe."
Amen. That's good.
That girl's made in the image of God. I mean, this girl's a joint heir with the King. I'm royalty. I'm a princess. And I don't just work for the President of the United States. I work for the King of the universe. And when you begin to get that in you, or you walk up there and look at that mirror, and one morning you say, "Boy, look at, isn't that something? That's a daughter of the King. Look at that girl in there." I mean, there ain't nothing me and him can't do today on this earth. We can get it done. That's loving yourself. Because God told you to love yourself. Now then, let's go to Mark 12, 30 through 34. Loving yourself can either put you over in life or it can make you sick in life. And I mean, it will bring sickness and disease. If you don't love yourself, it will bring sickness and disease to your body. And the thing I've seen it do to women, when women don't love themselves, I have seen numerous women with breast cancer in the left breast because they didn't love themselves. And when they repented and got right with God, the breast cancer always went away. And it's always in the left side. That's strange, but that's just the way it works. I don't understand it, but I don't know everything about God by a long shot. But I do know that if you take a woman, since we're talking about little girls and women, that if they don't love themselves, God will give them a lot of space, but eventually it'll bring breast cancer in their left breast. Now, if they don't love their neighbor woman, if they got a grudge against their woman, the neighbor, then it'll bring breast cancer in the right breast. Isn't that strange how all this works? But you have no idea how many women I've seen that had breast cancer in the right breast. We find out who it was against, but it was a neighbor or something or somebody else. And who's your neighbor? Everybody. It was somebody besides yourself that's not a family member. And when they had that grudge or a problem, but they wasn't loving their neighbors or self, then it brought breast cancer in the right breast. You know, I see, every time I see these ads now, somewhere, anywhere, you know, bulletin boards as I travel around the country or wherever I am, you know, put money here, do this, or go in a restaurant or whatever, put money here for cancer research or all this kind of stuff. Hey, I don't put no money in those things. I don't have to have research. I know what causes sickness and disease. I got the answer. And it's sin. You know, I guarantee, I know, I've seen too many thousands of people healed when they do what God says. So I know what the answer is. Now then, right here in Mark 12:30, "And you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it, namely, this, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself, and there is none other commandments greater than these." You think he's trying to get our attention, Keith? I mean, he didn't just put this just one place in the book, did he? It's all over the place. Now then, let's go to 33 and 34. "And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there's none other but thee." Now, this guy's smarter than about 99% of the people in the world today. You know, how many gods do we think we are? I mean, the world, not us. We know in this church, we know how many gods there are. But, you know, I think about what was said by one of our presidential candidates the other day. We're not a Christian nation anymore.
Wow.
We're a nation of Christians, of Muslims, of Jews, of Buddhists, and of others. Now, would you vote for a man like that?
No.
I wouldn't. I would not. But that's what's wrong with us today, and that's why we're suffering what we're suffering today, is because too many of us, when somebody says these things, we just back off and, you know, let them do what they want to do. You know, so the ACLU comes in and wants to take away all your rights. That's okay, you know. Just let them do it. We don't fight back. When good men do nothing, evil prevails.
Amen.
So, we're going to have to change a few things. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Is love important?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I think it's the only thing we got to do.
That's it.
That's all we got to do. Under the new covenant, there's only one law, and that's love. That's all we got to do. Verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that asked him any questions. He's not far from the kingdom. But guess what? Being one inch outside the kingdom, he ain't there yet. That's right. If he ain't there yet, you can be one inch from being there and still not be in, right? In other words, he's getting close. He's going up there looking in, tapping on the walls, looking in and say, "Lord, what is that in there?" He says, "I got the door open. All you got to do is step right on through. Come on in." But that door's still open today for everybody, isn't it?
Amen.
But see, that door's open for love, for us that are children of God too. But we have to make an intelligent decision every day as children of God. Am I going to walk in love? Am I going to be obedient to the King? Or am I going to do it my way? My fleshly way. When you walk in the Spirit, nothing's impossible. When you walk in the flesh, nothing's possible. You can't do nothing. Okay, Luke 6:27-38. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now this will put your love to the test. The Lord didn't make this easy. But I say unto you, which hear. Now some of us are not going to hear. Some of us are going to put plugs in our ears. Love your enemies. I mean, good grief. Do I have to love that guy? Lord, really? Well, I don't have to, do I? I can do it the flesh's way and get cut off from all of his power, right? Or I can do it his way and ask him for anything and he'll do it. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Well, I got news for you. There's a whole lot of people in Washington that need to be prayed for.
Amen.
And if we're not praying for them regularly, we need to pray for them. Verse 29 and 30. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek also, offer also the other. Now, that's a pretty tough one. Guy walks up, slaps you in the face. You just turn the other and say, okay, hit the other if you want to. It's one thing I really remember about the old J. Vernon McGee. You know, I listen to him. He's an old country preacher. Somebody asked him a question one day. He said, "Brother McGee, what happens if you guy slaps you on the cheek and you turn? And what if he hits you another one?" He said, "Well, The Lord didn't tell me what to do after that. So he said, you might have to use your own discernment. I think what he's trying to say, if he hits me twice, I may retaliate. I don't know. But you can tell if you retaliate which one you're going to yield to, the flesh or the spirit, right? The spirit would say, brother, let me love you. But the flesh would say, let me get him. The flesh usually wins, doesn't it? Because most of us are not walking in the spirit, not walking in that love. Then he says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Now that's why whenever somebody does come here in need, if they have a need and they come and I do give them some money, whatever I give them, when I give them something, sometimes people come and say, I want a loan. I need a $500 or whatever. And if I look at that and I think, well, okay, I'll give you a loan if that's what you want for $500. But when I give it to him, technically in my heart, it's a gift. I don't never even be concerned. I don't go in and write it down, make a record or nothing, because if they don't ever pay me back, if I give it to them as a loan, expecting to get it back, and they didn't, then there would be an offense. And so I ain't gonna go there. So I just, if they want it, I give it to them. If they pay me back, fine. If they don't, that's fine too. And at verse 31 and 32. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. In other words, do unto others, you would have them do unto you. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. I mean, have you ever seen some poor little gal that's on her own? Maybe her husband left her, and she's struggling to get by. And it comes time for the rent, and she's a couple of hundred or $500 short. And maybe she's a worldly woman. And she goes to one of her worldly friends. That's, you know, very successful businessman, got plenty of money. And she says, Jack, you know, I'm $400 short of my rent this month, and I should have it in about 3 or 4 weeks, but some of the things I'm doing is not paying real well right now, but I will pay you back. Could you let me have $400 for just a month? Yeah, I'll let you have it, but you got to pay me back $500. I'm going to let you have $400. But she needs the money. Is he a friend?
No.
I don't think so. Have you ever seen people do another person like that to which they said they were your friend? Well, let me tell you, folks, I don't want any friends like that. Those kind of friends, they can be a long ways from me because I don't want them as a friend. I'm going to love them as a neighbor, but I'm going to love them kind of people from a distance. I ain't going to go to their house for dinner, that's for sure. Then he says, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? Sinners, they also love those that love them. Isn't it amazing? Verse 33 and 34. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. And most of them want a pretty high interest. Do you know something that's scary in the Word when you read it? If you're a Christian and you loan something to a brother and you charge them interest, you know what the Scripture says? You cannot dwell in the sanctuary of the Most High God if you loan money to a brother and charge him interest. Who is it that will dwell in the sanctuary of the Most High God? Well, how many of you want to dwell with him in the sanctuary? I do. He said, if you want to dwell with me in my sanctuary, if you loan money to a brother, you cannot charge him interest, because if you do, I will not let you sit in my sanctuary with me. That's written in the Word. Isn't that amazing? That's why you would never loan money to someone. Now, in my past life, have I done that? Yes, I've done that and charged people interest. You know, I will have to say, when I sold my house, I sold it to a Christian brother. And him and his wife did go to Lakeland Baptist Church. And for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, 3 or 4 or 5 years, he did make payments on the house regularly. And then one day, he still owed me about $50,000, I think it was, on the house. Because I sold him the house with a very limited amount down, and then I carried the note for him. And I'd sold the house to him for $88,000 or whatever it was, several years ago. And a beautiful home over in Highland Village that I had. And anyway, after a few years, all of a sudden the payments stopped coming in. Well, I didn't get one for a month and 2 months and 3 months. And after about 3 months, I called him. I said, you know, are you having financial trouble? He said, yes, I am. Things are not going well. And, you know, I would have thought he would have contacted me to let me know he wasn't, you know, but he didn't. So I told him, I said, well, okay. I said, I'll work with you. So we went about 6 or 7 months. I never got a payment. And so finally I went over to see him one day, and I said, you know, what seems to be your problem? He said, well, my business is just not working. I said, have you and your wife stopped going to church and stopped tithing? He said, well, yeah, I got real busy in my business, and I didn't have time to go to church. I said, when did this happen? He said, well, about 8 months ago. Oh, I said, about 8 months ago you were doing well. All your payments were on time and everything. You had plenty of money. And then you got so busy, you didn't have time for God no more. And so I said, when you did that, you stopped sending your tithe into the church up there where you go to church, didn't you? He said, well, yeah, if I don't go, I don't give anything. I said, see, you are sinning every way wrong. He said, well, that's not wrong. I said, oh, yeah, it is. God said in His Word, if you don't give Him a tenth of everything you make, He will curse you with a curse. I said, that's what happened to you, and I'm getting to enjoy the benefits of your curse. I said, so I've been nice to you, have I not? He said, yes, you have. I said, I'll tell you what I'm... He said, you really believe this? I said, I'll tell you how strong I believe this. I said, if you will ask God to forgive you for not going to church and for not sending in your tithe every Sunday, and you and your wife will start next Sunday and you'll go back to church, I said, and you'll worship and praise God and you'll start reading the Word of God at home every night, I said, within 2 months, if you can't start making house payments again, I will give you the $50,000 in the house and you don't owe me nothing. How many of you have that kind of faith in your God? This is where you find out what you're made out of. I mean, $50,000 a house, I mean, that's not exactly peanuts. But I know my God. And I know what He said He'll do in His Word. So they repented, both of them, and they started going to church the next Sunday. And it wasn't even 6 weeks later till I got two house payments.
Wow.
And he called me and said, brother, this works. He said, the first Sunday we went to church, he said, I didn't make hardly nothing that first week, but I gave $5 or whatever it was. He said, I didn't have no money left. We were broke. We couldn't even hardly buy groceries. But I put $5 in that offering plate when it come around. He said, the next week things got a lot better. And he said, man, things have just snowballed. And he said, man, he said, I've got enough money to send you two payments. And over the next 6 months, he caught up on the 6 months he was behind.
Amen. Wow.
Now, what happens when you obey God? Oh. What happens when you don't obey Him? Who is running the world?
God.
What is it we don't understand about who's in charge? We think we're in charge. We get so busy doing everything in our home, and things are going good. I mean, your oil company's going good, or whatever your business is, it's going good, and I got so many contracts and projects going on. Who's got time for God? Look at all this money coming in! And give it to God. I ain't gonna give none of this to the Lord now. I mean, I don't need Him. I mean, I'm doing great. And in 6 months, all of a sudden, you get to feeling bad. And you say, well, I'm so busy, I ain't got time to go to the doctor, but oh, I'm hurting so bad. Oh, maybe I better go. And you go to the doctor and says, oh, wow, good thing you come in. You got 3 weeks to live. That's not what you wanted to hear, was it?
Definitely not.
Why, God, why me? Well, it's, you know, the average guy will just say, well, you know, it's just one of those things. No, it was a curse from God to come upon you because of your stupidity. You know, it was nothing else to it. All you got to do is, I mean, if you love God, do you keep His commandments? Sure you do, yeah. So, he says here, verse 35, let's see, where were we at? The next couple of verses. Yeah, we go to, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, if he is kind even to the unthankful and evil, what do you think he's going to do to his children that obey him? He's going to bless your socks off. So whatever you do, however busy you get, don't forget to praise and worship the Lord and love him and worship him if you want to stay in health and continue. And then he says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Now, if our God wasn't merciful, I got news for you, there wouldn't be not one single one of us here today. We all know that we're well deserving of being cut off. And I'm going to tell you for sure, he is a lot more merciful than I am. You know, I try to be merciful, but I'm still a human being, aren't we? And my limitations fall way short of his, you know, because I think how merciful he has been. But he tells us, be merciful as your Father also is merciful. Verse 37 and 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Now, this is to the world he's talking about. He's not talking about to your brother in the church. If you've got a brother that's doing something wrong in the church and you see him doing something wrong, this is where we get a hold of this, judge not, lest you be judged. If I see Ernest out here running around lying to somebody, stealing to somebody, he's my brother in Christ. He's not the world. I'd immediately go out there and jump on him and say, Ernest, what are you doing? You're my brother in Christ. You're supposed to walk in love. You're supposed to be a man of integrity. But somebody said, no, don't you go judge him or you'll be judged. No. If Ernest was a non-Christian, he don't know Jesus, then I can't go judge him. I go tell him about Jesus. But if he's lost, I don't go out there and say, you know, you lying, thieving crook, you, why don't you get straightened up? Well, I mean, if he's not a believer, he don't care whether he's a lying, thieving crook, does he, Ernest? No, it don't bother him at all. See, that's where we get this confused. God told us not to judge the world. But now, if we get a brother or sister in Christ that's doing something wrong, he tells us to go sit down with him. You have no idea how many times I've gone to sit down with a brother or a sister and say, we need to talk about your sin. Right. Don't you judge me, lest you'll be judged. Hey, they don't know. That's why they're having the problem they got. They ain't been in the book very much. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you measure it out, it shall be measured to you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's why we run this little ministry God give us. And this, like the pastor said yesterday out there at Baptist church, he said, when I called and asked if Thurman would come to my little church, I told him, I said, we're a little bitty church. When we asked how many people could be there, they said there might not be 25. There may be 100. But we don't know. Well, what will you charge us for you to come out here? Nothing. What if there's only 25? That's okay. We come for free. We don't charge to go teach God's Word. He said, man. Well, let me tell you. You know, yesterday wasn't a bad day. I mean, I was amazed at that little group of people and the donations they gave to the ministry yesterday. Yesterday was not a bad day. You know, I used to not make that much in 2 weeks. But we made it in one day. You know, why do we make it in one day? Because we give. We gave away everything. What do? They give back to us. So what happens? We get to pay Phil and all of them, Krista and Sharon, Rosemary, they all get to get a paycheck. And of course, I could tell the way all of them raise it. They love to get their paycheck. So they love to be able to get money. And if people don't give to this ministry, I don't have the money to pay. But none of them have ever had to wait. I have never been short of money in this ministry. But that's just like that pastor told me yesterday. He said, you know, there's not a whole lot of people come to this little Baptist church, but one of the problems we don't have is money. Amen. He said, those that come, he said, they give liberally. He said, we got bunches of money. He said, we got more money we know what to do with. Amen. I thought, now, isn't it amazing when you give, God returns to you? I know churches in metroplexes that's got tons of people in it that's begging for enough money to pay the bills this next week. There must be something wrong, right? Maybe they're not walking in the kind of love Pastor Jimmy's walking in. Obviously, that boy's doing something right. If God's blessing him with the people, and we had a good crowd yesterday. We had 80 or 90 or 100 people there. We had people drive from Lubbock, which was 3 hours. We had people drive from Odessa, all kinds of places, to come out to Gory yesterday to listen. We had some real good things. But if God says giving, it'll be given to you, why don't we learn to give more often? Somehow, some way, this week, as you go, give of yourself, of your time, your money, or something to someone that's in need. Give. Did God say if you give, it'll be given back to you? So you're so busy today, you ain't got time for nothing, and you're driving down the road, and you come up to a place, and here's a little lady that's got a little problem, and you think, now I ain't got time to help her. But God did say give, didn't he? Okay, Lord, let me stop and help her. So it takes 30 minutes of your time. You think, well, I really blew it now. That blew my day all apart. I ain't going to never get everything done that it was going to take me till 7 o'clock tonight to get everything done I got to do. And I know I ain't going to make it. But you stop after 30 minutes and you get back home for dinner at 5 that evening. Your wife said, what happened? You said, well, everything just flowed perfect today. I can't believe it. It happened so quickly. Now, why did everything flow so smoothly? Because you gave, and did God give it back to you? Yes, the same day. It's amazing how he does things. Now then, we just don't understand that God's in control, and he can do it all, can't he?
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can, and he can do it all. Now then, let's go to Luke 10, 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's a good question for all of us. He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read? Isn't that amazing? You start asking people that question. If somebody says, do you have eternal life? Yeah. Why? Why do you have eternal life? You know, a lot of people don't know. It's just like one day when I was a manager down at the airport, I had a forklift that was not working properly, so I called a company and they sent a repairman out, and I went back there and he was back there working on the forklift, and I said, son, do you know Jesus? Yeah. You go to church? No. I said, you must know the wrong Jesus. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you really know Jesus, you obey him and you go to church. He said, me and Jesus got a thing. I said, no, you and Jesus ain't got a thing. I said, Jesus has got a thing. And he said, this is it, go to church. And if you're not obeying him, then you and Jesus ain't got a thing. But see, the boy thought he had eternal life, but he don't have. He don't have it. A boy's lost. So, what is written? Jesus will ask you the question, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Do you think people read this book different? Oh, yeah. Never ceases to amaze me how we can read the same thing and come up with two totally different answers. The next couple of verses. And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus answered him, you have said right. Go do this and you shall live. Now see, do you know today that that's still good?
Yes, sir.
If you love the Lord with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your soul, and your neighbors yourself, you're going to do everything according to God's Word. That's all that's required. And anybody that will do this can have eternal life.
Yes, sir.
It's a done deal. You know, all you got to do is obey what the King says.
Amen.
Next couple of verses. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I mean, isn't it amazing how we always want to justify ourselves somehow? You know? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now we see these kind of things out there all the time. Next couple of verses. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, isn't it amazing how God is telling this man about these two men? Because these are the kind of men he loves, you know. These are men he could say would be my neighbor. And in the next couple of verses, but a certain Samaritan. Oh, I don't want to talk about that old Samaritan guy. You know, couldn't you, Lord, couldn't you use somebody else as an example? I mean, that old guy, good grief. You know, that critter that lives down the road from me that drives that old junk car that I wish could move somewhere else, him? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35 and 36. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, that's about probably $300, and he gave it to the host and said unto him, now take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more than this, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, this is quite a deal, huh? Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Let's see what his answer was. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Now, he didn't say, you notice he didn't say that old stinking Samaritan. That's what he was thinking, though. You know that? Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Isn't that something? Okay, John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus tells us to do the same thing, doesn't he?
Amen.
We're supposed to treat these people like John 13, 34 and 35. And we're going to see the new commandment that he's given us. And a new commandment. A new one. I, Jesus, give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, that you love one another, all men shall know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, but as you begin to read the next few verses, we're going to be here in John 13, 14, and 15, we're going to find out here that Jesus must really think we're a bunch of hard-headed critters. You would think he wouldn't have to tell us this so many times, would he? But 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. That ought to be good enough. I got it. Or did I? Did you get it? As I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Boy, is he pounding this in my head. Lord, do you think I'm hard-headed or something? And he hits me again with a sledgehammer. Yes, you're definitely hard-headed. Next couple of verses. No, 34 and 35. Okay, the next one is John 14, 15 through 31. John 14, 15. Actually, John 14, let's start with verse 12. John 14, 12. And we'll go through. John 14, 12. And on. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now that's just a mouthful. I don't care how you put that. We're talking about the King of the universe come in flesh that walked on this earth and did awesome signs and miracles and controlled the weather and spoke to people's bodies and everything. I mean, demons fled the whole nine yards. And he has the audacity to make the statement that anyone, Tom, that includes you and me.
I think so.
It looks like it, doesn't it? To anyone that believes in him, not only shall we do what he did, But greater things than these that he did, we do in his name.
Amen.
Why does this not happen? Why do we pray for people, or why do we do things? Why can we not do the things Jesus done? Somebody said, well, he was a son of God. Well, yeah, but he was still a man. He had the same Holy Spirit. I mean, you're a man or a woman, and you have the same Holy Spirit. So why is it you can't do this? I'll tell you where the main culprit is. It's this love issue. We're not walking into his kind of love. We listen to him tell us what to do, and we don't do it. I mean, we don't do it. I mean, that's an awesome statement. I mean, I just thought, I mean, with everything I've seen God do and my answers to the many prayers that I've seen and all the wonderful things, I ain't even come close to what he's done, much less do better, bigger things. You know, I think, boy, I must really be a dense dummy, Lord. You know, I mean, I got to make some changes. Verse 13 and 14. Let's see what he says after that. And verse 13, after he says we can do greater things, then he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But what is the requirement to get him to do it? Love. You've got to walk in love. If you're not walking in love, he ain't going to do it. Because he's not there. If love's not there, he's not there. And if he's not there, what can you and I do without him? Absolutely nothing. I mean, we can't even do nothing. Next couple of verses. If you love me. Oh, there's that word again. If. You notice he says if. That means we have the privilege to either love him or not love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, what was his commandments? Love who? Love God first, and then love my neighbor as myself. That's all I got to do, isn't it? That's not a whole lot of commandments, is it? That ought to be real easy to do that. I wished. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then look what he says. If you love me and you keep my commandments, and then I, Jesus, will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever.
Amen.
Now, if you walk in love, can you think of anything greater than the King of the universe praying for you and asking the Father to send the Holy Ghost to fill you? Ooh, I want that.
Amen.
I want that every day of my life, because I know when the Holy Ghost is alive, when he's walking in me, I think back to the day when I think about these kind of things happen if you can walk into God kind of love. I think about the night that I went down to Manny, Louisiana years ago, just me, and I went down there and I preached in that little tiny church about this many people there for 2 hours. And after that, this woman come walking up the aisle when I asked for prayer, and I didn't know her, of course, but now I know it was Norma Garcia. And I now know she had repented of her sins. I didn't know nothing about her. But whenever she walked up, and I laid my hand on her shoulder and said, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. This woman was shaking like crazy with Parkinson's and had lupus cancer, and the King of the universe instantly healed this woman. Her hands shaking like this just got rock solid. Her lupus went away. I turned around and walked over here, and here's Johnny Brumfield sitting over here on a seat with his two crushed legs. Reached down and laid hands on him, and God instantly healed Johnny Brumfield. Got up, started running around the church. He ain't walked a step in 21 months, and that's when God totally took over. I didn't remember anything else that night until years later when I was with this group of people. They said, well, what about the young man that you went over to next that was in the wheelchair? I said, what young man? They said, well, after you prayed for Johnny, and he got to running around in the church screaming and hollered, said, you went from there over to a young man who was in a wheelchair, legs sticking straight out. You run over and put your hands on him. He jumped out of the wheelchair and ran out the back door. I didn't even remember that. Now, see, if you can totally die and totally let Jesus take over, then that's what you call totally dying to self and letting Jesus live through you. Now, would I like to walk there 24/7? Yes. Would you like to walk there 24/7? You've got to dedicate every day to walking in the God kind of love. Because if the God kind of love's not in there, He ain't going to show up like that. But that day, obviously, I was walking in a God kind of love. Praise the King. And, of course, all the people that were there, they loved it, didn't they, Sharon? I mean, we got to hear. Were you out there when we get done, Johnny? You went another time, huh? But I know Cheryl was out there. And that day that Johnny gave his testimony, and he jumped out of that chair. I said, well, Johnny, these people that on TV, this 4 or 5 years later, I said, Johnny, these people hear you talking, but they don't know if you can walk or not. I said, why don't you stand up and do something? Boy, Johnny Brumfield jumped out of that chair and started running right there on set and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell in that place, and everybody in that place, cameramen, engineers, everybody on the set, everybody's watching. Everybody come to tears. I mean, the Holy Ghost fell in that place that day. God was glorified. Don't we love for God to glorify Himself through the things He does? Wow. But He did some wonderful things. But if you love me, do we love Him? Do we love Him enough? Probably not. Do we love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength? Now, let's be honest. If we did, we'd be all walking in all these things all the time, wouldn't we? See, if I could only get there. That is my desire, to get there. I want to get there, because that night when I saw God do what He did down in that place, what I love to see Him do that every day, everywhere I go. Who do you think would be glorified? If this little guy, Thurman Scrivener, could walk in that total kind of love, and he could go out and they could get groups of people that were in wheelchairs or broke knees, and I could pray for them and all of them get healed every time, who would you think the people, even the news, would say was doing something like that? No, they'd have to know it was God. Because, I mean, even the news media is smart enough to know that a man can't do that. They'd have to say, wait a minute. These people are in these wheelchairs. We got documented proof. Here, Johnny Brumfield was in this hospital in the Shreveport for 30 days in ICU, and it's confirmed by the doctors he ain't going to walk. They ain't never going to walk, and he ain't walked in 21 months. And this crazy guy comes up and lays his hands on, quotes a few verses out of the Bible, and the guy takes the seal off and jumps up and starts running around the place totally healed. I mean, your wood's got to be wet if you believe I did that. Is that right? I mean, we know only one that can do that, don't we? And His name is Jesus. Now, see, He wants to do those kind of things through you and me, but He wants us to walk in this total love. I want to get there, don't you? My desire is to walk in that kind of love. Lord, help me this week to walk in that kind of love. And then He says, if you will love me and keep my commandments, if you love me and keep my commandments, then I, Jesus, will pray and ask the Father, and He will give you the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and He will abide with you forever. Ooh, that Holy Ghost. I love that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there is a big... Now, I don't want to offend anybody if you happen to be a tongue-talking Christian. A lot of people believe that when you get the Holy Ghost, you get tongues. But I'm going to tell you, a big, big portion of the people that I hear talking in what they say is a tongue, it's self. It's not God. Now, I've run into some wonderful people in my life that absolutely had the gift of tongues. I mean, they're speaking in tongues, and they're speaking in a tongue, and it's something. And I've seen people that come and speak in a tongue. In fact, I had a very unique experience. A young boy was in a little tiny church, non-denominational church, and he was leading, and the pastor was out of town. Wednesday night service, and there wasn't 15 people there. And he was just up there filling in for the pastor since he's out of town. And this little boy was a Holy Ghost-filled, loving Christian young man. And there was a Baptist preacher down the street, had a whole lot bigger church, 200 or 300 people. And he didn't believe in tongues. But he'd been on the mission field for 20 years before he come back and got his own church. And he went to Africa. And he learned how to speak the Swahili language real good when he was down there. Because he'd been down there 20 years. But he heard that this little tiny church, they spoke in tongues. So the Wednesday night, for some reason, they didn't have a service. So he thought, well, I just put on my blue jeans and go up there tonight. Nobody knows who I am here. And he said, I'll just go up there and I'll sit in that little service and see what they do. So he's up there and he said, this boy's up here going over the Bible. So he's kind of stammering through, trying to teach a few things out of the Bible. And all of a sudden he says, you know, I don't know what just happened. But the Lord just told me to speak in tongues. He said, I don't know why. But he said, I got to do what he says. So he said, we'll just do it. And so he spoke a little message in tongues. And then he spoke it. And he said, well, okay, I don't know what that's all about. But he said, okay, now back to the Bible study. And all of a sudden, this Baptist preacher back here, he stood up and he said, that was for me. He said, what do you mean, sir? He said, I don't even know who you are. He said, I know none of you know who I am, but I'm the pastor from the Baptist church down the street. I don't believe in tongues, or didn't. But he said, I have been on the mission field for 20 years of my life, and I've learned to speak Swahili perfect, and you spoke to me perfect in Swahili, and I understood every word you said. And he said, the Lord was telling me, believe in my gifts. I do give some the gift of tongues. You need to believe in it. You're here tonight to find out the truth. Well, I'm telling you the truth tonight through this young man that I do these things. And he said, change my life forever.
That's good.
But you know, a lot of people that speak in tongues really have the gift.
Amen.
But that's just like the gift of faith. A lot of people have that too, but everybody don't have it. You know, some people have the gift of miracles, but everybody don't have it. Some people have the gift of tongues, but everybody don't have it. You know, there's some churches will teach you, if you don't have the gift of tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the gift of tongues, you ain't going to heaven. I've heard that taught in churches. But let me tell you, all that don't agree with the Word. None of it agrees with God's Word. That's not true. You know, God gives whoever He wants to, whatever gifts He wants to. You know, and He can use you any way He wants to. So get off of this nonsense. All He wants you to do is walk in love. All He wants you to do is walk in. If somebody else has the gift of miracles, if they got the gift of miracles, praise God.
Right.
Do I want that gift? Yes, I'd love to have it.
Right.
You know, and I have had it a time or two, and I loved it every time He gave it to me. I mean, you know, when you get to pray over a man like Johnny Brumfield, and you see God give him two new knees, I'm telling you, the gift of miracles come up on me that night. I don't care how you put it. Would I like for that to work all time? Oh, yes, Tom. I would love it if it worked all time. But guess who's not in control of those gifts? Me. I am not. He is. Now, but do we want this Holy Ghost living inside of us? Yes. If we obey the Lord and walk in love. Did He promise to give us the Holy Spirit? Did He say He would pray and ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit? Now, if you're obedient to obey Jesus and obey the Lord and walk in love, He's going to say, Dad, Thurman's doing what I told him to do down. He's walking in love. So why don't you send the Holy Ghost and fill him? And today give him a little extra. Let him do something wonderful for me, for you, and for in my name today. Why don't you just do that? And if Jesus asked the Father to do that for me, guess what He's going to do? He's going to do something that's going to bless my socks off and then bless them back on again. But what if I'm walking as a little devil today? No, I'm going to get a spanking, though. I may not get the Holy Ghost, but I'll get a spanking. And how many of you like a spanking from God? Ooh, I don't like the fiery judgment of God to fall up on me. It hurts. I've had a few of those spankings, Tom. I know. I don't want them. Now then, he says here, let's see. Yeah, let's go on down the next couple of verses. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not. Now, the world can't understand this. And it seems like most of us in the church don't see Him at work either most of the time. Because it sees Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, I want that Holy Ghost. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19 and 20. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. These are promises He's making to these men. Verse 21 and 22. He that hath my commandments and keeps them. What was His commandments? Did He have a whole long list? Isn't that something? I mean, it's love the Lord your God with all your being and your neighbors yourself. That's not so difficult, is it? Not in number, that's right. But boy, is that difficult to do? It's easy to love somebody. You know, I was telling Ernest a while ago when he walked out, so glad to see them. I told him, I said, I'm so glad you're here today. I said, my wife said that your wife wanted to come, and she called and wanted us to pray that Ernest would bring her. I said, so praise God. I said, so we went to the throne of grace, and I said, I'm glad Daddy kicked you in the backside and got you over here today. Is that what I told you? I said, we went to the throne of grace. I said, see, isn't it amazing? I mean, I know Ernest lives, and his lovely wife Esther, they live a long ways off, and it takes them a while to get here. You know, I mean, it's not like driving down the street. I mean, it's a way over on the other side of the Dallas Metroplex where they live, and it must take them an hour and a half to get here. About an hour. It takes them an hour to come to church. So I can understand, you know, not going to church every Sunday over there. But I tell you what, we're going to pray every Sunday that God's going to get him over here. Now then, how do we make things like this happen? If all of us would pray, Lord, bring me back here next Sunday. Amen. And give me a friend or a companion or somebody that I could take with me out there to hear your word. Amen. If we would pray like that, it wouldn't be long. This place would be completely full. Amen. Every Sunday.
Amen.
But see, God don't do nothing except an answer to prayer. I'm completely convinced if Cheryl and I hadn't knelt before the throne of grace and asked God to move on Ernest's heart to bring his wife to church, that he wouldn't have been here this Sunday. You know? But we prayed. And when we prayed, the Holy Ghost that's in us is in him. I know, but you hadn't been, see? And so sometimes we have to be kicked in the backside by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? I know. Yeah, I mean, I know how easy it is. He wakes up in the morning and the enemy says, now, Ernest, when the Holy Spirit says, get up today, Ernest, take your wife out there to the Living Savior Church. And the devil says, but you know, it's so far out there. You know, it's going to take you an hour. And think, gasoline's so expensive and all that stuff. You know, I know the battle that's going on. And so either the spirit or the flesh is going to win out.
I mean, you need to talk.
Oh, okay. I hope you don't mind me giving you a hard time, Ernest. I love you anyway, brother. Oh, I mean, Ernest is my buddy. I mean, that's why I talk about him like this. And I mean, he's my buddy. I took this couple out to GLC. I mean, they flew out there with us in that big airplane, and they both were on set with us out there, and they got to tell their wonderful story about how their granddaughter was miraculously healed of a breast cancer. And then, of course, after that, they got to tell about how Esther had had this tumor in her stomach for 15 years. And we found her sin that Sunday. And we asked the Lord after she repented of her sin. And she'd had that thing for 15 years. And after she repented, we prayed a prayer of faith. Amen. And the next Sunday, that thing's gone. Ain't been back there since. So see, I know this couple's walking in obedience at least most of the time with the Word of God. Because God answered the prayer. You know, and when we're walking in love, that's why the Lord healed your granddaughter, and that's why he healed you. And I'd a whole lot rather be healed than to have that big tumor in there. I mean, she had it for 15 years, and now she don't have it no more. And I know I love that for them. I love it that I was able to be the one to pray the prayer of faith for them and see God do that. I love that. But now, see, I love it every time God does something like that for one of his children. And I want to see it happen for everybody every time. Don't you?
Amen.
Amen.
Can we do a corporate prayer for Patty Gage?
Oh, we will. We will in a little bit. Yeah, we definitely will. Yeah, we're going to pray for Patty before this is over. We definitely are. And let's see. He that has my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. You want Jesus to manifest himself to you? Do you want him to become real to you? He's only going to do that when you keep his commandments. When you walk in the God kind of love. When you walk in love and do what he says. Now you can't be involved with the people of the world during the week and living with them and talking with them and being buddies with them and doing what they do,
amen,
and ever walk into God kind of love. Now, you can walk into God kind of love and you can share the gospel with everybody you come in contact with, but there's a difference between dwelling with people, you know, and sharing the gospel with them. So, I mean, if I had a terrorist down the street that was a neighbor, I might go down there and share Jesus with him, but I wouldn't go down there and have dinner with him if he invited me, and I just wouldn't go. You know, I mean, it's amazing how, you know, the fact we just, well, Judas said unto him, not Judas Iscariot, he said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world? In other words, that's a good question. If you're here, we all can see him right now. I mean, it's back in those days because he was standing there. But if they could see him, the world could see him. He was flesh. So he don't understand this question. Lord, how can you manifest yourself to us and we can see you and the world can't? Let's see what he says in the next verses. Jesus answered and said to him, If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now then, if we walk in the God kind of love and obey, after Jesus left and went to heaven, he came back in the form of a spirit. And can the world, can you even see him as that spirit being? No. You can't see him. But yet you can see him. And you say, how? Well, this is the way we don't want it. Say it. Somebody says, show me Jesus. Deborah, if there's really a God, show him to me. I want to see him. Well, this is when you got to say, look at me. You, your God, he's in me. The Father and Jesus is both in me. Now see, then if they say, well, you know, you are really a nice lady. And I don't ever hear you doing any bad things. You don't run around with those that chew, cuss, all that junk. You're a really sweetheart. You know, you're just a good person. Okay, so maybe I could believe that if there's a real Jesus, he might be like you. But what if somebody else that wasn't a sweetheart, that said they were a Christian, they didn't go to church real often, and when they told dirty jokes, you know, and they say, well, how am I going to know Jesus? And you say, well, look at me. He's in me. He said, good gosh, if he's in you and he's like you, I don't want nothing to do with him. That's why we're so hesitant to say, look at me. Because if you're not walking totally obedient to God's word, they're going to say, if he's like you, I don't want him. Now see, isn't that a shame? Because that's what's wrong with us. We don't want to walk in obedience to his word. Because when we walk in the love that he says, and we love him with all of our heart, and we love our neighbor as ourself, then somebody says, you know, you don't even have to ask the question. Somebody comes up and says, you know, you're so unique. You're so unique in everything you do. You must, there's something unique about you. What is it? I never seen anybody like you. Well, do you like what I do? You're the loveliest person I ever met in my life. I mean, you never talk evil about nobody. You never say nothing but do good. Anytime somebody is in need, you're always trying to help them. I never seen a sweetheart like you. Why are you? You remind me of maybe the way God would be. Now, see, that's the way they ought to see us, right? If I ever met a man that walked like Jesus, it would be you. How would you like for him to say that about you?
Amen. Amen.
Now, see, that's the way we're supposed to be known as children of God.
Amen.
That's the attributes you and I are supposed to take on, and we're supposed to be just like that. Now, unfortunately, do most of us mess up?
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately. We mess up. Unfortunately. And sometimes I want to kick my own self in the backside when I mess up. I think, well, Lord, I really blew it today. Nobody wanted to know Jesus that it was over here with me today. I know none of y'all ever been guilty of that but me. We all have those kind of days once in a while, don't we?
Amen.
And we have too many of them.
Amen.
And we need to really start walking in the God kind of love. I mean, this love thing, I've been studying this now for about the last 4 weeks. And the more I study this, the more I think, more He convicts me. I mean, it's amazing what happens when you study the Word, isn't it? Jesus answers, if a man loves me, there's that if a man loves me, how many of you in right here today would be willing to hold your hand up and say, I love the Lord with all my heart? Do you love Him with all your heart? Hey, okay, then if we love Him with all of our heart, He says we're supposed to keep His commandments, keep His words, and do what He says, right? So at least we got a right start. We're not ashamed to hold our hand up and say, Lord, in all my imperfections, I want You to know I love You with all my heart.
Amen.
Now I'm asking You to work on me and make me that perfect person.
Amen.
That I need to be. Because I know without Your help, I can't get there.
Amen.
Lord, You're going to have to kill this flesh every day.
Amen.
I'm going to ask You to cut this thing away, the flesh, whack it away with an axe, whatever You got to do. But cut away this flesh. I need the flesh subdued so I can walk in the Spirit. And some of us, He'd have to take a hatchet to us, wouldn't He? I'm telling you, it's just the way life is. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we, Jesus and the Father, will come unto him and make our abode with him. So I can't think of anything greater than the Father and Jesus moving into my house as a dwelling place. Can you? Just think. Now, the King of the universe could have chose anywhere in the cosmos to live, couldn't He? And He chose right here. But He did that for every one of us, right? So this is why the world can't see Him today. Here He is, and He's not here just in one place anymore. When He was here in the flesh, He could only be at one place at one time, just like you or I can be. But once He went away and He come back in the form of the Spirit, now then every one of us that profess to be Christians, He can be in us everywhere, all over the world at the same time.
Amen.
And if we walked in that God kind of love, in fact, I was really amazed at that video I watched the other day about a Muslim woman in Dubai. This woman was on television over there in Dubai, and she was reading the Muslims the Riot Act. She said, I am a Muslim, but I don't understand why the Muslims do so few things, and these people that we talk about, the Jews, we say we hate, that they can't do nothing right. I don't understand why so many peace prizes have been awarded to them. I don't understand why they have made all kinds of things that we enjoy were made by Jewish people, and the Muslims, we make hardly nothing. Those people never strap a bomb on one of their children and put it into a place to kill one of us, but we do it all the time. She said, there's got to be something wrong with us as Muslims.
Amen.
I thought, wow, praise God.
Amen.
This woman, the Holy Spirit's got to be, how to be a hold of this woman. I thought, wow, see, at least they're looking and they're seeing that the Jewish people are inventing things. I mean, they're all these Nobel Peace Prizes and everything, and they're walking in love. They don't go about killing their kids. They don't beat their wives up. I mean, she says, as a Muslim wife, we do anything wrong, they beat us. Who is a woman want to be a Muslim wife? Not me. You know, I mean, if your husband beats you like that, you know, or your mother, I mean, you can't imagine how they treat people. Why is it? Because they got the wrong God.
Right.
Their God don't talk. There ain't no place in the Quran, no place in the Quran that says to love one another. Nowhere. But is our book, is it all over the book?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Love, 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 love.
Everywhere.
Even the Muslims, love them. You know, pray for them. You know, help them out. When a Muslim gets in a motorcycle wreck on the side of the highway on a motorcycle and tore all to pieces, and Dave Rosenfeld, a Christian man, pulls up and he says, "Sir, I'm going to pray for you." And the guy says, "I'm a Muslim. I don't want you to pray as a Christian." Dave said, "I got a captive audience. I'm going to pray over you anyway." And walks over and lays hands and prays for the boy. Now see, that's love. That's love. You know, I mean, even though this boy is telling me, "I'm a Muslim. Don't you pray for me." But Dave goes over there and prays for him anyway. Now see, that's demonstrating the love of God.
Amen.
God loves that boy. He won't do something good for that boy. It didn't make, if he's denying him or whatever, all we need is a man of God that will go over in faith, lay hands on him, and God can move and do a great and mighty work. And who knows? That boy might have been supernaturally healed. That Dave left there, there ain't no telling. The next day or something, that boy might have woke up. He ain't sore or nothing. He said, "Well, I thought I was tore up a whole lot worse than that." But you know, the devil will say, "Well, it was Allah that did it for you. It wasn't that Christian God." Isn't that something? But see, it don't make any difference. That boy will never forget that Christian boy that come prayed for him. He'll never forget it. It's in there. Now, was Dave doing what God told him to do? Yes, doing deeds of loving kindness to his neighbor. Who was his neighbor? That stinking Muslim? Yeah, that stinking Muslim was his neighbor. Yeah. Is that true? Yes. That Muslim guy is his neighbor. You know, so all he got to do is do deeds of loving kindness. "And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." In other words, if you don't love Jesus, you're not going to keep his saying. "And the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father which sent me." Now then, the next couple of verses. Let's see, where am I? John 14. Okay, yeah, through 31. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, when we get the Holy Spirit in us, when we obey, when we walk in love, and Jesus prays to the Father, and he sends the Holy Spirit, how many things is he going to teach us from God's Word? So what do we need to do then to learn God's Word? Study. Get in the Word and start reading it out loud. And as you read it and everything, who's going to interpret it for you? God. The Holy Spirit. I'd hold up rather have him talking to me than most men. Hadn't you, Ernest?
Yes, sir.
I mean, a man can tell you anything. You know, you hear a lot of people, even church pastors will say things that, you know, that's wrong. They'll say things that's wrong. But that's why that I like to teach right with the Word as I go all the time. So you got me kind of pinned down, you know. If it said it, and you can read it. And, of course, the thing I love about this is, you know, most of us, I say as men especially, if I can get a man to church, most men are lazy. You know, especially when it comes to spiritual things. "Did you bring your Bible to church?" "Well, no, I left it in the car. I did think to bring it out and put it in the car, but I didn't bring it to church today." But if you got, "Yeah, I got it right here in my lap." "Well, when I'm quoting these scriptures, why aren't you looking them up?" "Well, you're going too fast and I can't find them." You know why you can't find them? Because you ain't spent no time with God in the Word. Like that young couple that come here from West Texas, and they came in, had two children, and him and his wife, and they had all of them are sick. All of them. And I made an appointment with them. And I said, "Well, sir," I said, "as the spiritual head of the house, let's start off in James chapter 5 and verse 14, 15, and 16. I want to show you some scriptures God said about getting healed." And he had his Bible with him. And so he opened it up and he starts thumbing through all over, going back. I said, "You don't know where James is at?" No. I said, "It's in the New Testament." He said, "What's that?" I knew my work was cut out for me to get four people healed, and here's Daddy, and he don't even know if the book of James is in the New Testament. I thought, "Oh Lord." I spent hours with that couple that day. You have no idea some of the things I go through with people that come here to get healed. But lovingly, kindly, and gently, did God tell me to be patient, loving with them? I remember one time Sharon, she's sitting there saying that. Sharon, one time she came in my office and she was upset. "Pastor, what is wrong with these people? Why can't they get it?" I said, "Sharon, when these people get off the phone with you. They need to know they've had a touch from God. I said, be gentle with them. Okay. She said, okay. I said, you know why you know it so well? I said, you've been in the Word so much in the last 4 or 5 years. I said, you've got it and you think everybody's got it. But I said, I remember a time not long ago, honey, when you were sick and afflicted too. And I was patient and kind and gentle with you till I got you healed, didn't I? She said, yes, you did. I said, okay, show them the same courtesy. So did you check? She went away bubbling, laughing. Praise God. Give me another one, Lord. I'll get them. But you see, walking in love. That's what it's all about, isn't it, Sharon? We know that. That's why I told her. I said, when these people get off the phone with you, whether you get them healed or not, they need to feel like they had a meeting with the King.
Amen.
They need to feel like they've been talking to Jesus on the phone. You need to be loving and kind. And that's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
And when we walk in His love, He said, greater works than these that I've done shall you do in My name. And I'm completely convinced that's why we see so many wonderful healings and miracles and everything out of this little tiny
Amen.
Ministry. It's because we are, as a team, all of us, are trying our best to walk in a God kind of love. Do we mess up? Oh, yeah. And I probably do more than any. You know, but at least I know I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. I'm working on it. I mean, just like Cheryl said, you know, I remember this is a good joke on me. She said when she used to be sitting out there and she looked up one day at me and she said, I wonder what it would be like to be married to a perfect man.
Yeah.
And then God brought her to me. And now that she says, you're a diamond in the rough, really rough, but He's working on you. I mean, you know, really rough, big stalactite sticking out the side of that, but He's whittling them away. He's working on them. I mean, is that all of us? Yes, we're a diamond in the rough. Can the King chip away at that diamond and make you a wonderful thing someday? Oh, yes, He can. I mean, every time He gets another one, little sharp corners knocked off, boy, it's a beautiful glistening thing right there. One day you're going to be a beautiful Amen. Diamond. I mean, you got to walk in that God kind of love. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, this is truly having the mind of Christ. When you really get there, you truly have the mind of Christ, because He don't ever forget anything, and He's pulling it all back. Okay, the next couple of verses. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love Me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for My Father is greater than I. So, if we really love Him, it don't matter what happens. Should we be rejoicing? Absolutely. When one of us die, what should we do doing? Not screaming and kicking. We should be rejoicing. We get to go home. You know, but we don't even look at life like that. Most of us, even in the church, when we lose a loved one, I mean, we kick and cry and do all kinds of crazy things, you know, instead of saying, yeah, well, there was my loved one, my daughter, my son, my mate, or whatever. And yes, I loved him or her or whatever, my children, but they're graduated now. Now then, let us press on. Evidently, we still got something to do. But one of these days, just like David said, when David pleaded with God for a week for his baby's life after he'd sinned, but God would not hear it. David had sinned. And so after a week, it says, and the Lord had struck the child and killed him. And the child died after a week. David's praying all week, fasting and praying all week. And so after they told him, said, sir, your baby is dead. He gets up, goes, takes a bath, shaves, showers, does everything, combs his hair, and said, let's have something to eat. And they said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, before he was dead, I was praying and interceding, asking God, perhaps He would save the child's life. But said, since He didn't, now he's gone. He says, I can't go where he is now, but I'll go be with him later. And so he will. And of course, David lived to be 70. 70 years old, David was gone. You know, great man of God, but he only lived to be 70. Wow, that's not long off, is it? for some people that are in here, that's already passed.
Past.
Yeah. You're past it, are you, Ernest? Yeah, Ernest is already past 70. In fact, how old are you, Ernest?
75.
Look at this man of God. At 75, what can this guy do? Man, I'd have thought he was 55. You know? Woo! Praise the King! You know, but it, the cleaner, if you will live, if Ernest will live clean and walk in the God kind of love, there ain't no telling how many years he can see be just exactly that healthy. You know that?
Almost 20 or more.
Do what?
At least 20 more.
That's right. Amen. At least 20 more. I'm going to be in agreement with you. I mean, we're going to still be healthy and young 20 years now, aren't we, Ernest? Amen. Praise the King. But see, if we walk in love and the Holy Spirit comes and does all these things, but the Lord set peace. Just like the other day, Cheryl came to me and she said, "Honey, the Lord says His yoke is light." You know, and this peace. But she said, "I feel heavy." I said, "Well, honey, what you're doing is you're letting all the things and the pressures of the world, all these things, you're reading all about what's going to happen in the end times." And I said, "You're taking that load upon yourself." I said, "Let me put it in perspective for you." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Here we are standing here in our beautiful little, we were actually in the bathroom." And I said, where we're talking, I said, "Here we're standing here in the beautiful carpet in our bathroom, the beautiful walls and everything." I said, and we have no pain. Both of us are totally well. I said, "We're fixing to go around and have something to eat. We got food around there. We got everything in the world we need." I said, "We're blessed with everything." Amen. I said, "And what if you were one of the young ladies that a Roman centurion was fixing to come to you and strip all of your clothes off of you and take you out there and tie you to a pole in the arena, and then he's going to turn two or three or four big lions and tigers loose to eat you before the crowd?" I said, "That's what they did to Christians." She said, "Man, the burden just left. I feel great." See, you got to put it in perspective, right? I mean, don't let heaviness get through you this week. I mean, if you're able to get up and walk.
Amen.
You know, I mean, just like the little lady. I think that little lady was Spanish or whatever that came.
Raquel.
Is she here? Where is Raquel? She's not here. She's not here. Oh, okay. Raquel came here to a healing school a short while back, a couple of months ago. They brought her down a chair in a wheelchair, and she'd had a stroke. She couldn't walk or anything. So we asked her to repent of all sin. We got rid of all the sin. We prayed for her, and we were able to get her up out of the wheelchair. And before she left that day, she was pushing her own wheelchair home. But she was here last healing school, wasn't it? A week or so ago on Saturday, sitting right over here in the front. I didn't even see her. And I said something about her, and she said, "Here I am, Thurman, I'm here." And I looked over and I said, "How you feel?" She jumped up and started doing that. "I'm great." And I thought, wow, wow. Is that the way we want to be? We don't want to be in that wheelchair coming down here, right? But we want to be the little girl. Now then, if she had only walked in that God kind of love. See, that's where we miss it. If you walk in the God kind of love. If you can. Is it hard to walk in the God kind of love? Man, when you say it ain't hard, let me tell you, it's hard. I mean, it's hard. You got to stay in that book. It's not easy. If you love me, you would rejoice. Okay, let's do the next couple of verses. We got a couple more verses here. Yeah, to verse 31. "And now I have told you, before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter will I not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me." And when the prince of this world comes to you, and he'll come. Did the king tell us the devil as a roaring lion roams around devouring whom he may? He comes to Ernest's house today and he looks there and he says, "Hey, I don't see no sin in this house nowhere. This man's walking in total love with the Lord God, with his neighbor, and with himself. Well, I guess I better go over here to Tom's house. Maybe I can..." Now see, it don't matter whose house he goes to. If we're Christians, he should see the same thing, right? We're walking in the God kind of love, and he can't get us. But if there is a glitch in your armor anywhere, he'll not miss it, will he, Esther? He won't miss it. See, See, now this is something that when we talked about Esther, when she says he won't miss it. See, Esther, when she had the tumor for 15 years, just before the tumor come, we found out she had a little unforgiveness towards somebody. Oh, she's pointing at her husband. See, this guy that is now 75 years old, there was a time back there when he was just like me. He wasn't perfect. And he could do things wrong. I mean, we were boys. We were human beings, right, Ernest? Good grief. But when we do these stupid things, sometimes our girls get a grudge against us. And, I mean, it was well deserved, as far as you know. I mean, if you ask, you know, you think, it's well deserved, honey. You ought to hold a grudge against us for what we've done. You know, I mean, is that right? That's what it looks like, you know. But God don't see it that way, does he? God didn't see it that way. So he put a tumor on her for 15 years. And she had to. Now, I asked Esther why she didn't ever have it removed. She said, because she had a friend had one just like it. And she went and she died on the operating table. And so she said, I wasn't going to have it removed. I was just going to suffer with it. And she did for 15 years. And then all she had to do was forgive her husband for whatever he did. And when she forgave him, and God just, he healed you, didn't he, Esther? Isn't it wonderful? Now then, Ernest has learned, just like me, how important it is now to walk in that God kind of love. So you don't give your wife no reason to get a grudge against you. You know, we want to walk in love. I mean, but you know, when we were a little younger, we wasn't quite that smart, was we, Ernest, you know? I mean, you know, like I said, I know at least two boys in this room that wouldn't be alive if God wasn't merciful. Here's two of us right here. But I got a feeling every one of y'all fit in that same category. You know that? You know, it's a whole lot easier to walk in love when you learn the rule book, right? That's what Dave Rosenfeld says. He said, Thurman, it's so wonderful to know how the rule book works now. To understand the rules. When I walk in obedience to the rules, I get to walk in divine health. It's amazing. But the prince of this world, he has nothing in me. Now then, if he couldn't do anything to Jesus because he had nothing in him, what should we have in us? No sin. If we're walking in a God kind of love, then he has nothing in us. So when that devil as a roaring lion comes by and he looks at you and he says, well, I guess I better go down to somebody else's house. As a rule, he don't have to go very many houses down the street to find somebody who's got a door wide open with neon signs flashing in them. Come in, devil. We got all kinds of sin in this house. Come on in. And some of those houses are Christian houses. That's what's so bad. Some of them are Christian houses. And we just don't understand this principle. Wow. Okay, the next couple of verses here. One verse. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do, arise and let us go hence. From this day forth, you and I are to arise and go forth with the love of God in our heart, just like Jesus did, and do great and mighty things in his name. We're to love the King with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our soul, and our neighbor as ourself. Right? Now, if we will walk in that, do you know what this, if Jesus turned the world right side up with 12 men, think what we could do with this little group. Amen. If all of us could walk in the God kind of life. Amen. We could turn the world. Amen. I mean, that thing has tilted pretty heavily since Jesus left. Yeah. Hadn't it, Jack? Pretty heavily tilted. But we need to tilt it right back up. Amen. And guess who's going to do that? You and me. We're going to walk in the God kind of love, and we're going to change the world. If we would walk in the God kind of love and we would pray. And I want before we close today, I want us to pray for this little girl, Becky, down in Georgia. She's a young 20-something-year-old young girl. She had a deal something like you did, Sharon, with a brain aneurysm or something, and she passed out. And they've got her in the hospital, and the doctor sees this mass in her head. And so her name's Becky. They actually Rebecca, but she likes to be called Becky. Becca. Yeah, so we're going to pray for her, and then we're going to pray for Patty, and then we're going to close this earth. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we really do confess every sin, known and unknown. And Lord, we do want to walk in the God kind of love. Lord, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord Jesus, we ask you to ask the Father in your name to send that mighty Holy Spirit to fill each one of us every day so that we will have him to be our comforter and our teacher and our helper, so that we will not sin, Lord. We do not want to sin. We want to walk holy. We want to walk in your love. We want to do what you told us today in your word so that we can do the great and mighty works. You showed us there if we would walk in the God kind of love that greater works than these that you've done shall we do in your name. And Lord, we want you to be glorified, because as we pray for people and see you do the great and mighty works that only you can do, it will glorify you and the Father. It will not bring any glory to us, because people are smart enough to know that we can't do these kind of works on our own. They have to come from you. So Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for all these wonderful things that you have done and that you're going to do in the future. And Lord, for Patty, Lord, Lance's wife Patty, I ask you to be merciful to this girl. I ask you to set her free. Lord, I stand in the gap. We stand in the gap for her. We bring any kind of sin in either one of their lives. And I know they've tried everything. They've confessed every sin known to men that they know. But Lord, if there's something there that we don't know what it is, we lay every sin at the foot of the cross and ask you to forgive them and be merciful to them. And then you said, Lord, the fervent prayers of a righteous man. So, Lord, there's a lot of us in here, and we are righteous because you made us righteous. So we're coming to the throne of grace on behalf of Patty and Patty Gage. And, Lord, we ask you to raise her up and make her strong, completely heal her, and make her good where her and Lance can go forth and do things, great things, for the kingdom of God. And, Lord, I praise you and thank you for hearing this prayer. Now for this young girl, Rebecca, down there in Georgia. Lord, that we got the email a while ago. I ask you, Father, Lord, I lay that girl sins at the cross. I break the curses over her according to Galatians 3:13-14, because you said you redeemed her from the curse. So I'm standing in the gap according to your word for her, breaking those curses with your promises, Lord, and that she can be redeemed from that curse that caused this problem. And that she's washed in the blood. She's a really great little Christian girl that loves you and serves you and is doing great things for your kingdom down there. So, Lord, I ask you to be merciful to her. Yes. Set her free. Raise her up and do such a great and mighty miracle. And that church she's a member of, Lord, they believe in you as the deliverer and the healer. They've seen lots of great works down there themselves. So, Lord, I know they're all praying, so we want to put our prayers with theirs and ask you to be merciful to little Becky.
Yes.
And just raise her up and do a great and mighty work. Now, Father, one last thing I want to ask today. I want us to prepare all of our hearts as we go toward this time of electing the new officials for our government offices.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I ask you to touch our hearts.
Amen.
I ask you to show us that we vote your word.
Yes.
I ask you to vote for people that line up with your word. And Lord, maybe none of them line up with your word completely. I'm sure of that. But I'm asking you, Lord, to move on the hearts of men and women that's going to be in those positions of office, that you will move on their hearts, that they will line up with your word. And let all the men that are already there, the representatives and the senators and everything that are already up there, Lord, and the judges, I ask you to move on all of them's heart, Lord, to let your word become alive to them. And these men will know who you are. They will come under conviction that they need to make judgments and decisions based around the word of God. And Lord, I ask you to touch every one of them. And I ask you to your Holy Spirit to fall upon Washington, D.C. with such great power that, Lord, these people have to know that the glory of God has come upon that place. So the decisions they'll start making will be decisions that will be good for the people, all the people. And Lord, the people that are all over this country that are living in such blatant sin, I ask you to move upon the Christians' lives that we will confront these people every day. We'll talk with them, and we will live so holy and so in love that they'll see you in us, and it'll make them want to be like us. Lord, we don't want to live in sin because they don't want to be like us. But Lord, make us loving, kind, wonderful Christian people that'll walk in the God kind of love so that the lost people will want to be like us. Let us walk in that God kind of love. Let the Holy Spirit teach us. And Lord, as we pray and do things, may such great and awesome power be demonstrated by the love of your Christian people that everybody will know that it's got to be you, and everybody will want you, and it'll bring this entire country back to the Lord Jesus Christ and service unto you forever. And may you become our God again instead of all the other things. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for the privilege to be your sons and daughters and to love you and to walk in the God kind of love. Now, Lord, this week, touch us, bless us, and just use us mightily for your glory. And Lord, I thank you. Lord, as Cheryl and I go to GLC Tuesday and Wednesday to make television shows for the next quarter, I ask you to speak out of my mouth. I ask you to touch us as we're on television on Tuesday night out there on Primetime Live. I ask you, Lord, to put the words in my mouth that you want me to say that'll bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, I just want to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus and the Father. Now, Lord, use us this week mightily to bring glory and honor to you. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.